Welcome to Another Day Above Ground, a show for, by, and about baby boomers. It's the podcast for people who have no idea how to download a podcast. And now, here's your host, Dale Irvin.
Well, welcome, my fellow baby boomers, to Another Day Above Ground. I'm Dale Irvin, and this is the podcast designed for you, the baby boomer, because, you know, when you think about it, somebody's got to stick up for us, and I thought, why shouldn't it be us? And when I say us, I refer to my two partners on this venture. First of all, from the state of Indiana, the Aristotle of comedy, Mr. Tim Slagle.
Hey, the State of the Union address was last night, and I understand it made people want to watch the Super Bowl halftime show again.
And joining us from the Rocky Mountains in Denver, Colorado, please welcome Carolyn Strauss.
And we can't not acknowledge the New England Patriots, given that I'm originally from Boston. I just want to give it a big smile and a shout out to my Patriots and Tom Brady, who's 41, because it was wisdom and experience versus youth and enthusiasm. And I am so happy for us, the baby boomers, that wisdom and experience won.
There He's almost go. Old enough to be with listening to this podcast.
Yep, almost.
The best description I heard of the Super Bowl the next day is that both teams were playing like the winner had to go to the White House. I don't want it here. You take it. No, I'm putting. No, you take it back. Well, as you may be aware of, folks, because it was in all the newspapers, but the Midwest went under a terrible freeze last week. It was something called the polar vortex, which comes down to us from Canada. Thanks a lot, our Canuck brothers. And
it's as welcome as a Canadian quarter.
See, that's where the wall should go, people. Come on.
We should have an enormous wall with big, huge fans on top of it, blowing this crap the other way, you know, because we don't need their coal there. We can generate enough of our own. And people say, who's going to build the wall? We got 1,400 people waiting on a Texas border right now. You just put them on a train up to Canada and the whole thing's taken care of. But that's just me. Well, okay. And by that sentence, you feel free to laugh at home. Just because they're not laughing here, that doesn't mean that this stuff isn't funny. All right, let's take a look at our first story, I guess you could say, that it was a little bit disturbing to me. But they say for baby boomers that alcohol-related hospital admissions are on the rise. Apparently, we're drinking so much that, you know, we have to go to the hospital and get sobered up, while millennials, their hospital visits are in decline. So what does this say?
It says that we don't know where to buy drugs anymore. Once you're out of college, it's all your connections dry up or end up in prison.
And you wind up talking to your daughter's boyfriend going, hey.
It is the icebreaker.
Man, I think we just indicted. I think we might have just indicted someone there, Dale.
I don't know who. But yeah, it said that 11% of girls aged 11 to 15 had been drunk in the last 4 weeks, compared with 7% for boys. And that was a statistic from a couple of years ago. But, you know, by the same level, most people who are baby boomers got drunk.
So 4% more girls than boys got drunk, teenage boys got drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's.
And that was a couple of years ago, so they were in training.
And there you have it. People say, where are the future Kardashians going to come from? Hey, right here, you know.
The 11%.
Let me focus on something that every baby boomer is thinking about, either around the kitchen table or just thinking to themselves. But and that is, you know, eventually I'm going to have to check out, and I don't really know what to do with all my stuff and who to give it to and all that. And the main thing, you know, you can get your will state certain things, but we're talking about, you know, artwork. Because if you have a lot of artwork, chances are, unless they're told ahead of time, your kids aren't going to know how much it's worth, you know. And all my stuff is very good stuff. I got it at the Starving Artist sale.
at the local Holiday Inn down the street.
You been there?
One.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I felt like I was feeding these guys. It made me feel good. But I want them to know that, you know, I paid, you know, $27 for it. So goodness knows what it's worth today.
It's actually, I read the article. It just kind of fascinated me is that young people, yeah, they look at a Jackson Pollock painting and they go, oh, that's a really nice pattern. Maybe we could cut it up and make curtains out of it.
that looks like the, spin art I made at the fair.
Yeah, I mean, really, who wants this stuff? It's like linens, right? I mean, if you have linens from, let's say, your grandmother that were those beautiful hand laced linens, nobody wants those anymore. And you look at this artwork and nobody knows that it's worth anything. I mean, hey, my psychedelic blacklight posters from the 70s are still worth something. I don't care what anybody says. You just have to find a blacklight. Where can you find a blacklight?
My psychedelic posters, you don't want to put the blacklight on anymore. They got me through college.
Dateline, here we go.
You know, it is kind of interesting, though. If nobody knows what it's worth, is it worth? I mean,
it's whatever the buyer will pay. You know, that's
exactly
what things
so
are
eventually,
worth.
Eventually, these multi-million-dollar abstract paintings aren't going to be worth anything,
except in China. Because they apparently study our art and they study our artwork, and they are now, from what I've read, the biggest collectors of American art.
Oh, great. Maybe I can get even with some Chinese people for that Rolex I got when I was
in Cancun. The
Bolex?
Well, you should have suspected it was spelled Rolecks. And we all have to watch our money, and that's why at great expense to ourselves, we here at Another Day Above Ground decided to get us a financial expert so that we could explain things to you, because we certainly can't answer the questions, and we have a lot. So we have our new financial expert. Her name is Mary Kelly, and let me just tell you a brief bit about her. Mary has been cited in Money Magazine, Entrepreneur, Success, Forbes, The Wall Street Journal. I don't even subscribe to any of those things. And by over 500 TV and radio shows, she's written 11 books. She was the first woman to graduate from the Naval Academy. She has been there, done that, and she's willing to put all of that credibility on the line to come on this podcast. So thank you very much for joining us, Mary Kelly.
Pleased to be here. This is going to be great.
Right. Now you are, I guess, a financial guru. Most of your books are geared toward that, and you have advice. As baby boomers, I don't think we have as much money as we thought we do. And what can we do?
So the baby boomers have done a fairly poor job of taking care of themselves for their retirement. The average baby boomer only has $177,000 saved for retirement. Now, that's the average. There are anywhere between 42 and 55% of baby boomers who say they have saved $0 for their own retirement. Baby boomers have, by and large, done a fairly poor job in preparation for this next phase of their life, unless, of course, they smoke a lot and they're planning on dying early.
Isn't the government going to take care of us?
I like that advice. Save up or smoke. I'll take the smoke.
That whole big campaign where we were supposed to stop smoking and eat healthier, that, as it turns out, is just bad retirement advice for a lot of people.
Well, fortunately, I planned on this back in the 80s, invested very heavily in the Beanie Babies. And I got crates of them, and I'm just waiting to sell those and start retirement.
So there's actually something called the double coincidence of wants, which speaks actually to the Beanie Baby movement. The double coincidence of wants says that you've got to be willing to sell at that moment in time where I want to buy, and then we have to agree on a price. And this is a problem with all collectibles: rugs, Beanie Babies, Barbie dolls, gold jewelry. This is why after you got that engagement ring and then she gave it back to you, it wasn't worth very much.
Wow! All right. Well,
I think part of the reason why baby boomers don't save a lot is that, you know, when we were kids, $175,000 was a lot of money.
It was, and for many people, again, that's the average. So the more real number is most people only have about $100,000 saved. Now, the only good part about that is many of those people are saying that they're expecting some kind of employee pension. What worries me, though, is many people are thinking that that government Social Security is going to tide them into their retirement. And you have to remember that government Social Security was enacted as a supplemental plan. It was never supposed to be something sustainable. Good thing, because the government monitors it. So it's not sustainable, and it's not something you can live on.
Well, you know, I'm on Social Security, and I got to tell you, it almost fully covers my monthly bar tab. And so, you know, I can live on that.
Yeah, if you want to eat nothing but beer nuts and pretzels.
If you go at happy hour, there's also nachos. So, I mean, you can live on nachos and beer.
So many baby boomers suffered because instead of funding their own retirement, they funded things for their kids that haven't panned out very well. So many parents are still, in fact, subsidizing their adult children when, in fact, they need to be putting that money toward their retirement. And if people were not saving in their 20s and 30s and 40s, I'm fond of telling people you only have to be smart about money until you're about 40. Then you can be stupid. But you have to be really good between the time you're 20 and 40. Otherwise, you have to think about it for the rest of your life.
So it's okay to be stupid after 40.
Oh, yeah. I endorse it. It's great.
What actually, here's a question. What actually are baby boomers doing right now that's stupid with their money?
Right now, baby boomers are, like I said, they're overly funding their adult grown children. And in many cases, they are funding their grandchildren. Those two things are top of the list. They have not saved.
Well, you know, I guess they think that the children and grandchildren are going to take care of them when they're penniless.
That's exactly right. So the average person living in mommy and daddy's basement is a 26-year-old college-educated male. Now, if that is your form of retirement and that's what you're thinking, if he's just going to stay there forever and take care of you, then that is, in fact, a form of a retirement plan.
Hope you like ramen noodles, Gramps.
That's exactly right.
You say, at that point, though, don't you have to move them upstairs and you have to move downstairs? Isn't that how the flex works?
My hip, that's impossible. My hip.
And see, this is one of the problems. I have a retirement plan that calls for you to buy a new house about every 15 years once you become a grown-up. So when you're 25, you start to buy a house. But instead of a 30-year plan mortgage, you have a 15-year mortgage. So at 40, that house is paid off. You buy another house at 41. You live and work in that house while renting out the first house to you about 55. And then when that house is paid off after 15 years, then you get another one, which takes you into 75. Now you've got three houses that are paid off. You're living in one. You're renting out the other two, and that can supplement your retirement income. However, this only works if you started again when you were 25.
I'm doing a form of that.
After you're 40, so your second house can be your stupid house.
Oh, of course.
I mean, that's the one that you can get the gold toilet in.
I'm doing a form of that now. I'm taking in boarders. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so that's rent coming in because, you know, I got some extra bedrooms and they seem like nice.
That's the Airbnb premise. Frankly, that worries me in terms of retirement. But the bottom line is retirement is a problem because people have simply not thought First, I'm going to live that long. All of us are probably a little bit surprised that we live this long anyway. And the second thing was, is we're not anywhere close to putting away as much money as we should have. So if people don't have the proper amount of retirement money set aside now, they really have to go on the ramen noodle diet and put themselves on a strict saving plan.
So where is there a place that we can put our money? I mean, if we put it on our mattress, now that we have those mattresses that bend, the money all creases and that's bad. But where can we put our money where it's safe?
So right now, the market is always something people talk about, but the market last year lost 9.8%, which makes a lot of people feel very nervous when you lose 10% of your savings in just a year. That's very terrifying. Many of us were also still burned by the 2006 to 2009-10 baby recession that we had, or depression, whatever you want to call it, the Great Recession, some people refer to it. And the problem there is, for most people, they, let's say you have $100 and you lose 40%. Well, now you have $60. So you've lost 40% and now you're down to $60. But if you gain back 40%, 40% of $60 only takes you up to $84. So we feel the losses more than we feel the gains. And this is why it's nerve-wracking. So baby boomers are kind of in a tough place because we've still got to be making and generating money that's going to take us into our retirement years if we're not there already. But we also have to make sure it's safe. So the surefire places to put things are, of course, a money market mutual fund, which gives you barely above what a CD or a savings account does. I'm very fond of rolling bond funds right now for people who absolutely don't want to lose money. They don't sound sexy. They don't seem sexy, but they can generate between 4 and 6% with very, very low risk. So I like that for a lot of baby boomers.
A rolling bond fund. Is that like where in the movie James Bond goes rolling down the hill towards the really pretty girl at the bottom? Is that a rolling bond fund? What are you talking about?
A bond fund is comprised of IOUs. Government IOUs are government bonds or U.S. Treasury securities. But corporations do that as well. They issue out bonds to raise money for short-term projects. So you don't get shares of stock when you invest in, say, a Microsoft bond. What it is, it's an IOU. You agree to give Microsoft some money today, and they're going to give you more money later. It's an IOU. Municipalities do this as well, and there's municipal bond funds that also have the benefit of not paying federal taxes.
And remember,
so it's like loaning Jeff Bezos money for a divorce attorney.
That's exactly it. Yes, yes.
And an IOU, remember, is far different than an IUD. I learned that early on.
It's like HIV and HPV. They're different too.
There you go.
I don't want either.
These are all different acronyms. And a lot of baby boomers are not taking advantage of the Roth IRA conversions. So many of us have traditional or regular IRAs, and we never made that jump over to the Roth IRAs. So if you're at all eligible to do that, it is something I really recommend. Because remember, a Roth IRA means that you don't pay taxes on that money forever. So you can be using up your at 59 and a half when you can start taking money out of IRAs. And you've got, say, a Roth and a traditional. My big advice to people is make sure you're taking the money out of the traditional now. And people say, why? Because I have to pay taxes on it. I go, that's exactly the point. When you take the money out of a traditional IRA, a regular IRA, you have to pay taxes on that money. You never have to pay taxes on that Roth money. So that Roth money, the more it grows, the more it grows, the more it grows, the better off you'll be.
Okay, so
If we want to find more about your retirement plans saving money, what do we do? How do we hear more of you?
Well, I am not an investment advisor. I am just an economic financial guru wannabe person. So I've written a couple books on that. I am not an investment advisor. So if you've got one of those, I really encourage you to talk to those people. But I've got a ton of free stuff on my website. And my website is productiveleaders.com, because who wants an unproductive leader? Productiveleaders.com. And there's a ton of stuff under free stuff. So go there, and there are retirement fund forms. There's templates on money saving, on money management, on profit loss statements, on budgeting. It's all downloadable. And it's all free.
Cool.
Barry, that is fantastic. And I can't thank you enough for doing this for us. And we hope that you'll join us again on a future episode, because we plan on cranking out at least, two or three more. And you give us credibility.
This is our retirement plan.
Wow. I think we're in trouble, guys. I mean, and also, isn't it amazing to play with somebody who makes you feel really stupid sometimes? It's really healthy to have somebody this brilliant on our show. Thanks, Mayor.
Y'all are too sweet. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Well, you know, money and artwork, those aren't the only things of value that you can pass on. And I'm glad we got some tips on how to pass things along and how to get more money in our retirement. But we have to think about what else we have that we can give to the next generation. And by that, I'm referring to stuff like wisdom and knowledge and, you know, any other junk that we think they'll believe.
Now that I've gotten to my age, I realize that the stuff that all the old people were trying to tell me when I was a kid was actually right.
Yes, that's what's scary. Oh, just wait till you get to be my age.
I was talking to someone, and she was saying, you know, I really wish I knew then what I knew now. And I said, you know what? There were people that were trying to tell us that.
Exactly.
There were people who knew what we know now then, and we just thought they were old and stupid.
Exactly.
So let me ask, are those people who tried to pass on that wisdom to us still alive? Because the whole point of this is to live forever. Now, I'm going to go the Walt Disney route and have my head frozen so that when they figure out what causes dying, they can give me, you know, a robotic body with, you know, 36, 24, 36, and I'll be fabulous at
that
point.
Don't tell us the combination.
Oh.
You know, actually, though, I think I don't really trust those things. Because I think the last thing, if we finally get to a future where people never die, I think the last thing young people are going to want to do is reanimate more old people.
Well, that is true. You know, what do we need them for? No.
Oh man, the planet's just cut. Early bird buffets are coast to coast. Just what we need is more, you know, more old people driving in the left lane.
We can put them on Mars.
We don't have enough traffic.
We'll put them on Mars, and we'll all go hang out there. And then when the young people get mature enough and smart enough to come hang out with us, they can come to Mars too. Because we've animated Richard Branson.
Did you not see the movie about Mars? It's not going to be a real fun place to live, no matter how many coats you own. You know, it's going to be tough. But
and I'm beginning to suspect that Carolyn still knows where to get the good stuff.
If she's still got the poster.
No danger of alcoholism for Carolyn when she's talking about reanimating herself on Mars.
But I'm back to what you can pass along. I'm thinking here's a tip. Here's a good idea you know, if you're retired and you're looking for something to do, start a journal. And every time you think of my dad used to call them gems of wisdom. And anytime you think of one of these gems of wisdom, jot it down. And if you have kids or grandkids, trust me, they'll probably appreciate that, or at least try and get some money for it on eBay. So there's your tip there. Now it's health time. We always like to talk about health, but nobody wants to do anything about it. So, you know, it's weird because, you know, the topic at cocktail parties has even changed. My buddy was telling me he had a Super Bowl party, and everybody there was talking about their latest operation, their latest diagnosis, what hurts now, you know.
Oh. Well, I realized why. Because once you get to a certain stage in your life, nothing new happens. Everything is pretty much, it becomes like Groundhog Day. It's repeated over and over. So when people come up to you, they go, hey, what's new? I got nothing. My blood pressure medicine. I'm trying a new one, trying to get it down. Yeah.
Maybe we should do a segment about how do we get things to be new for us? I mean, what new things can we all try? Because that is the saddest thing I've ever heard, Tim. That it's like life is like Groundhog Day. Although the groundhog did see his slash her shadow, and they say it's going to be in early spring because that was week two.
Oh, there's a caller right now trying to come in.
Groundhog alarm right there.
I believe it is the groundhog calling in saying, hey, don't predict me wrong, or at least pick up the bloody phone. Thank you very much.
They forced me to see the shadow. They held my head and made me look at it. I didn't want to see it.
So yeah, we'll do a future episode on how we can make things different. You know, the first suggestion is change hands, but we'll have other suggestions to make things seem different for you. But speaking of different, this is the health story that's bizarre, is they're now growing kidneys in rats that could pave the way for human transplant options.
I want Pizza Rat. I call Pizza Rat for my kidney because he's big and he knows what he's doing. I call Pizza Rat.
Well, yeah, it's they're actually they found progress with it. They think they might be able to transplant human rat kidneys into humans. Unfortunately, you'll have to go every 20 seconds.
Well, either that or you got to get about a dozen of them put in there because they're little teeny tiny kidneys, you know.
No, it's just like being a baby pooper. You just have to pee a lot.
Well, yeah, but this is even more. Have you ever seen a rat kidney? I mean, it's small. It's smaller than a McNugget, I tell you that right now. And even that would be a small kidney, but hopefully
so
they
can. So someday at a future Super Bowl party, they'll say, Dale, what's new? Well, I got a kidney transplant, but I got this craving for cheese and dog poop.
But I can find my way through a puzzle. And that guffaw brings us to the end of this puzzle known as Another Day Above Ground. We're glad that you listen with us. Please pass this along to your friends and family and join us every week right here. And in closing, let me just say, Tim, do you have any closing words of wisdom, gems of wisdom, as it were?
Yeah, if you're out in Utah, I'll be in Provo, Utah, February 16th, I'll be filming a special for Dry Bar Comedy.
Cool. Very cool. And how about you, Carolyn? What are you up to?
Searching for the meaning of Valentine's Day. So we discuss it next week.
That is true. Next week, we will be having our Valentine's Day themed show, and I'll give you my little secrets of how you can always bring fresh flowers if you live near a cemetery. Until then, take care, and remember, it's another day above ground.
And that's it for Another Day Above Ground. For Dale, Tim, and Carolyn, I'm Farad Muhammad. Thanks for listening.